7:48, that is The Dip, and this is the Thursday Morning Show. We are people-powered radio in northern Minnesota. People power the stories that we cover. They let us know what's going on in their region, and then the folks who run the newsroom, people like Chelsea and Larissa and Megan, they go out and get the stories for us. Larissa Donovan joining us this morning. Hey, Larissa.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
You are welcome. All right. We got a lot to talk about. When I saw you yesterday, though I want to, I don't know if you were able to do this. You were headed out to Lake George. I wonder if we can start there.
Well, I haven't gone there yet.
Okay.
I want to get there nice and early so I can maybe treat some guys to coffee so they can maybe chat up a little bit about what's going on. Because from what I understand, a really tiny but very long operating, 122 years, this little log cabin post office in Lake George is officially closed. They began operating in 1903. It was moved to a remotely operated post office under the direction of the Park Rapids Postmaster General back in 2013. But apparently the lease for the little post office was terminated, and post operations for Lake George customers, a lot of that in-person stuff like P.O. boxes, package delivery, that's all being rerouted to La Porte as of today, which is some 13 miles, I believe, east.
So what does that mean to a small town like Lake George?
Well, rural mail delivery will continue in Lake George. That won't be impacted, but just kind of that in-person interactions that a lot of folks are, kind of accustomed to in small town Minnesota. Some of that's going to go away. And I'm hoping to learn more when I visit Lake George, hopefully bright and early tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah. And you have also been checking out the special elections that we have coming up as well.
So much information.
I have been a bit on the peripheral of that, being a little on the Western front, but I have been staying abreast of this story because I cannot help it. cannot help it. But yeah, there's a wide swath of candidates. Filing just opened yesterday, and it looks like 5 Republicans who announced their intentions to run have already filed. I believe there's a few more. And there might be even more filed that haven't announced. So it kind of remains to be seen. I know that special election is coming up very quickly.
Yeah, we're talking about the seat Justin Eichhorn just stepped down from, Senate District 6 seat. And do you know how long? There's not a really long period where they can, because the governor announced when the special election will be, right? There'll be a primary.
Right, there's going to be a special primary already, and then a special election a few days after that. So this is going to be a pretty quick turnaround. But I lost all my info with the numbers.
Okay. Well, and
the numbers and the names on the
there we go.
But Chelsea and Megan have been doing a really great job staying on top of that.
And I noticed that MinnPost also has picked up the reporting from KEXC on this, on who has filed. So there you go.
So we've also been following things with tribal colleges and federal funding, and that's something you've been working on for a little while here, and kind of what that has meant to those communities.
Right, and it's something that, these things about quality of life, providing health care, education, a lot of these trust responsibilities were promised in treaties from between tribal nations and the American government. Centuries ago. And a lot of, unfortunately, what happens is that the amount of money that Congress allocates per tribally enrolled student is often at the whim of executive orders and political feelings at the time, despite this longstanding trust, responsibility, relationship between American Indian tribes and the American government.
Yeah. So who did you talk to about this?
Well, I spoke with president of the Red Lake Nation College and one of Red Lake's hereditary chiefs, Dan King. I took a visit up there not too long ago and, visited the campus, had a nice chat with him, appreciated some of that nice, fierce wind coming off of Lower Red Lake. We got a really great selfie on the balcony of that, by the way. And I also talked with the president of Leech Lake Tribal College, Helen Montgomery, and it was kind of striking the same kind of challenges they're dealing with. Some of the funding has already been frozen, and they're quickly having to pivot. A pretty large grant from USDA that focused on expanding tribal college programs, not only for students, but also community ed for forestry and sustainable agriculture, these sort of things. This fund was apparently frozen, and these scholarships were already granted to these students. The students have already been aware that, oh, we received these scholarships, but now the funding for them has vanished. So the college is pivoting to be able to continue to provide these scholarships. But higher education is, you know, a challenging thing, especially in, you know, the tribal college setting, where unlike a lot of other public institutions that receive generous state subsidies, these rely on a lot of different federal funding streams, not only from the Bureau of Indian Education, but also the U.S. Department of Education, which, as we have seen in the national news, is under particular fire at the moment.
That'll be interesting to read and to hear. Your update on that?
A lot of moving parts to it. I'm trying to get it all together in a way that...
Yeah. Well, speaking of Red Lake, last week you were at the memorial event. What was that like?
It was, I brought my 5.5-year-old daughter with me for that too. You know, it's a community sort of a gathering, and everyone was invited to attend. So I thought it was, it was really impactful. Like, just... how close of a community Red Lake is. Like, everyone on Red Lake knew someone who was impacted by that tragedy. Mm-hmm. And I was speaking with superintendent of Red Lake Schools, Tim Lutz. He's been a superintendent around here in northern Minnesota for a while now. He's been at Red Lake for a few years now, but he remarked that it's something like half the community wants to remember, but half of it wants to forget, which I can also understand. But there is a push to put a permanent memorial for the victims of this tragedy on the shores of Lower Red Lake between the beautiful campuses of the Red Lake Nation College and the Red Lake Government Center. These are pretty new buildings that resemble eagles, so they're pretty striking structures. Mm-hmm. But right between these two, there's already a veterans memorial really close to the Government Center, but further towards the tribal college, there's a plan to get a permanent memorial for this tragedy on that site. They're about a quarter of the way to their goal. I talked to some of the organizers of the 32105 project. That project joined the Northwest Minnesota Foundation Family of Funds in late 2024, and they continue to accept donations, and they will until they reach their goal. They recently got a grant somewhere around $100,000 towards realizing this, but even with the grant, only a quarter of the way there.
Okay. And finally, you have an update on a Sanford Health event that's coming up.
Well, this event happened last week, but it was the Sanford Health Symposium, which featured 39 projects across the Sanford Health of Northern Minnesota campus, where they kind of featured the work of frontline workers who, you know, tried to identify problems and do research to find solutions, just to like increase patient satisfaction and safety was a big priority, as well as improve hospital operations. In the wake of Medicaid being a primary insurer around here, not really keeping up with costs of reimbursement, you know, making hospital operations more efficient is a primary goal, I think, across many Sanford health departments.
So you never run out of topics to be covering.
Never.
Huh? what's your day look like today? What kind of thing? Just to, you know, pull the curtain aside of what a reporter is working on in a day.
Well, staying on top of, you know, a lot of it is a lot of online research. Some of it from things that happened just recently, and some things that happened a long time ago that maybe don't have a lot of understanding, particularly when it comes to tribal law from like the 1970s and stuff, when like a lot of the tribal self-determination stuff was passed. A lot of that's coming up right now.
Wow.
Good thought.
Yeah, there you go. That is Larissa Donovan, one of our reporters. She reports from Northwestern Minnesota. And if you have a story going on in your region, we always want to hear from you. You can email news@kaxc.org. Keep up the good work, Larissa.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.